It's great to be here with you today. I want to thank Joe and the worship team, the songs that they chose. I don't know how often even I in the service engage the worship and then the message and weave that together. He knew what I was preaching in the story of Abram, but beyond that, these songs could not have been more on point. So praise God for that. Is that me? Now it's green. There we go. Technology and me, right? Here we are. So, well, it is great to be here. I was excited when your pastor, Roger, contacted me to come back. It's just great for me. Lots of old friends, some new friends here. And I'm so excited to be here at Living Rock. We are going to be following up on a message that Roger preached last week, working through the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 4, covering Abram's life, and where Romans picks up Abram as a kind of completed story, right? He's New Testament, Paul's preaching to the church at Rome in that book as he sent that letter, but he's talking about Abram and his faith. We're going to go back to the beginning today, and for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at the story of Abram and how that story shapes all that Paul was talking about in Romans. This morning, talking about our father, Abram, the faith of our father, connecting with that story that it was all by faith that this worked out. All by faith that God chose Abram, used Abram, saved Abram, brought about his blessings to all of us. But we're going to see Abram before some of that happened, as it was developing. So knowing, mindful here that it's Father's Day, talking about fathers this morning as well. But we're going to pick up the story in Genesis chapter 12. But when you turn to Genesis chapter 12, turn a couple verses earlier. I'm going to be reading the whole story for you today if you don't have your Bible with you. But if you have it on your phone or you have your hard copy with you there, we're going to be looking at chapter 11 and beginning in verse 31. Before we look into God's word, let's again ask for his guidance as he speaks to us in his word. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you are our Father, that you are the one who's faithful, that you not only set the example but empower us and guide us. May we understand the starting point for Abram, and may we renew that starting point again in our lives today as you are our Father. And Abram sets an example as a father of faith for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Genesis chapter 11, just the last couple verses of chapter 11, I'm going to begin in verse 31. It says, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Interesting. Introduction to the Abram story. We could go a little earlier if you love genealogies as much as I do, but most of us don't. We get lost in those genealogies. So we just pick up where Terah is leaving his country and taking his son Abram, and if you call him Abram, Abraham, his name will change in the middle here somewhere. We'll cover that. But you're fine either way. I'll probably say Sarah because Sarai is so awkward for me just to think. So either name, Sarai, Sarah, Abram, Abraham. But he takes his son Abram and family, and they head to Canaan. But it's fascinating as he's on the way to Canaan, he's leaving Ur of the Chaldeans. Some of your translations will say Babylonians there. That's the area of Babylon before it was called Babylon. There was a city of Babylon near there. Becomes the empire later. But he leaves Ur of the Chaldeans down south on the Tigris and Euphrates River. Goes all the way up. I'm imagining a map here behind me. So you can imagine ancient Near East, that fertile crescent up the Euphrates and Tigris rivers, over to the Mediterranean, on his way to the land of Canaan. But it's fascinating, he's on the way, he set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan, but when they came to Haran, they settled there, and he died. It was kind of an awkward beginning to the Abram story, but his father, Terah, was on the path, he was on the way to Canaan, but he settled. And he died. Now, settled there, obviously, they made a camp, they made a house, a living. They settled down there. But it is interesting in the English as we think about this, because when we get in our own life, we can either strive for that finish line, we can either strive for that goal, or we can settle, right? Terah got there, and he settled. He got part way. Now, this isn't, I have at the bottom of this first slide, this is not a dump on dad kind of sermon. And it's not a dad, you're the lofty, you have to be perfect kind of sermon. This is real life. This is reality. Some of you came from places where you were let down. Father's Day is awkward for you because you don't have a father that you can emulate. A father that was respectable or was the example for you. That's just the reality of the world we live in. You may have had a father that settled, that did not get all the way to what you needed him to be or set you up for what you needed to be in life. Maybe you did have a father who made it all the way, who led you where you were supposed to be. We come from a variety of places here on Father's Day, but it's interesting that Abram, his father got him part way. So we have to ask that question, where are you? Are you arriving? Are you settling? That's just sort of an entry question for us to think. And when I'm talking to fathers here, it is Father's Day, but all of us today have to think, where are we? We have people who we are fathering, who we're leading, who we're mentoring, people who are following us, whether we realize it or not, are looking to us for an example. Are we going to settle and die, and that'll be our legacy? Or are we going to go all the way to Canaan? Are we going to make it to the promised land? Are we going to set the example of someone not perfect, but on the way? Some of us as fathers have regrets. In fact, if you're a father, do you have regrets? Don't raise your hand. I'm assuming, right? All of us do, no matter how well we do, how well we strive, we look back and think there could have been more, right? There could have been. Terah didn't make it all the way, but Abram, his son, picks up the journey. We can all pick up that journey today and strive toward Canaan. So faith of our father, Abram, chapter 12. We turn the corner in chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Don't miss that. Pause for a moment. They arrived. They got to where they were going. They didn't settle along the way and wait another generation to get there. Abram had faith to listen to God's promises, to listen to his call, and to arrive at that goal. Very different than his father. No matter what your background was like, you can set a new course. You can get to the goal that your father undoubtedly was striving toward, may or may not have gotten there, You can arrive by faith. The Lord said to Abram, go. I have sort of a math formula up there, this threefold command, threefold, two times promise, I will. It's interesting as you're reading this, it gets poetic. In your modern translations, it will even set it apart as poetry. But the poetry starts even in verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, go from your people, go from your father's household, right? You're leaving it all. You're leaving the place you were and going somewhere I'm taking you. Abram's never been there. He knows it as the land of Canaan, but he doesn't even know it like his those that follow his descendants will know it as a land flowing with milk and honey. He just knows it's where God's calling him. He doesn't know what it'll be like, but he knows he's following God. Go, leave all of these things that are familiar and press on. But when you press on, God says, I will make you into a great nation. And I said threefold blessing, but two times here. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. That's the second of that first time here, the I will. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. This last one even goes beyond. I will curse those who curse you. We're going to talk about that next week and see the fulfillment of that, but we'll see the start in this passage. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. There's a purpose or result clause there at the end, right? I'm a teacher by nature. I'm preaching, but I'm teaching as I preach. There's that little grammar that's just a little today, right? A result or a cause, something that's there, a purpose. All of this blessing, make you into a great nation, make your name great. By the way, if you're reading this from the beginning, the previous story before the genealogies is the Tower of Babel, right? Why did they build the Tower of Babel? To make a name for themselves, right? This is by faith. God will make a name for us. He wants us to have a name, a legacy, the legacy in God our Father, setting that example for those who come after us. God wants that for us, but when we try to do that on our own, it fails. There's Romans 4. Right? It's no value, for all have sinned and fallen short. But by faith, we enter into that promise that Abram set for us here, that God gave us in this passage. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And here's why. And all people will be blessed through you. God is playing the end game here. He knows the journey. He knows why Abram is coming to Canaan. He knows what he will establish through Isaac and Jacob and the 12 sons of Jacob and Israel and Christendom. He knows that we are the answer to the world's problem if we are in Christ, if we accept this blessing, this journey for ourselves and the generations that follow. All peoples will be blessed through you, Abram, father of the nation of Israel, father of all of us who are in Christ. That's the legacy we have. But it's not on us, right? I will do this, God says. Not you will do this. In fact, I will bless you. I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. And in that way, you will be a blessing, right? Because I'm blessing you, not because of what you're doing. If you accept my blessing and live in that blessing, then you will be a blessing to all people. So that faith of our father Abram to pick up and to go and to finish that journey. Along the way, in verse 6, he not only arrived there, he continued to travel. He travels through the land. He journeys with his family as far Verse 6, as the site of the great tree of Moreh in Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And verse 8, from there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched a tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Right? Abram not only followed, not only traveled, not only had this promise of blessing, but he responded to God and he built altars. These altars he's building are really landmarks. They're anchors for the next generation. These are places that will be important in the story of Abram's children. Right? We're going to get the name of Bethel later in Genesis, but God has already taken him to that place and named it the house of God. Jacob will name it formally that later, but God has the plan set. And by faith, Abram goes and then he not only arrives, but he responds to God. He sets landmarks. He sets up pillars for the future. Now, can't be Father's Day without thinking of my own father. My father was a pillar. He was an anchor. In fact, he was a mountain of a man. I take after my mom. He was 6'4" and 300 plus pounds. He was a monument in our church, physically, but also spiritually. But my dad set an example. He responded. He put down landmarks for me. He wasn't perfect, like Abram, we're going to see. He's not perfect. There are things I had to overcome from my past as well. I'm sure things my sons will have to overcome from me and my culture and my time. But he set down some markers, some landmarks for me. My dad worked his entire life in the blue-collar world, in a factory, actually making dog food, dog treats. And it was, you think it's a little stuffy in here this morning, a little warm outside. He was in a bake place where they baked the dog treats. It was 120, 130 degrees in there. He worked 10-hour shifts. And he got to work every shift a half hour early. And he got there early so that he could go and clean up after the person that was leaving the shift before him and get his station ready and go to the workroom and get changed so that when he punched the clock, he could start working. Not he could start getting ready for work and spend the first half hour prepping. He prepped before he ever started working. That's an example to me. My dad never liked his job. He took great pride in his job. He did it better than anybody else in the plant. But this is different in our generation, right? Most of us try to find a job, something that's fulfilling, something, you know, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. We have that saying. That was foreign to my dad. He did not like his job, but he went every day for 40 years. And he went early every day. And he left a mark on that place. They all knew he was the one who did it right. That's a marker for me in my ministry. How do I approach my ministry? Do I mail it in? I've taught the Abram story how many times now? I don't know how many times, 100 times. Do I just show up today? Or do I spend the week in prayer with God saying, what does this congregation need? I met with your pastor. He invited me to coffee. It was wonderful. But we had coffee and we discussed where you are and where the church is and where he's heading in his message and his series. This was set up by my dad, right? I'm just on this path he put me on. I'm following the markers that he left for me. My mother, my grandfather on my mom's side, pastor, my uncle I was named after, missionary. But my mom, right, here on Father's Day, but I didn't get to preach on Mother's Day here, so my mom set up markers for me in her life. She read her Bible every year, although it was too much pressure to finish in 365 days. It took the joy out of it for her. So she would start in the summer, a time like this. She'd begin reading, and she'd read faithfully, but if she missed a day, if something happened, she didn't feel guilty about it. She could just pick up the next day because the calendar didn't match where her reading guide was. So about every 13 or 14 months, for most of her adult life, she read the Bible through every year and a little bit more. She read her Bible through till her hands in her old age were so arthritic that she couldn't hold even a small Bible. But her Bible, she had read it so many times, it fell apart. And so she would have rubber bands around, you know, Genesis and Exodus or Leviticus and Deuteronomy. She had little pieces, and she would read until she was done with that piece, put the rubber band by it and then pick up the next little section and begin reading there. She wore out her Bible. What an example for a Bible professor, right? Am I in the Word that? I'm not sure I'm in the Word as much as my mom was, but she set a trajectory for me. She planted a flag, put down an altar that she worshiped God and depended on His Word by faith every day. So, how are we doing? Again, not dump on us, but thinking, where's the marker in our life? Maybe you don't have one from your past. Maybe you need to set that marker today for the future. Maybe you've forgotten those markers from the past that your father, mother, others laid for you, pastors, mentors, disciplers. Where are those markers, and how can you follow that same worship of your Heavenly Father? Well, we continue to read that Abram set out and he continued toward the Negev in verse 9. That's south in Israel. If you think of Israel, that kind of pointy part at the bottom that goes down to the Gulf of Aqaba there. It goes. The Negev is that southern part. Interesting, it gets more arid there. We're heading into the desert. But when he gets there, the going gets tough, right? I'm going to read the next 10 verses, the rest of the story. It says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while, because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. What have you done to me? He said. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? So that I took her to be my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. And then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything that he had. Now, the story sounded good at the beginning, right? It sounded good. The famine's severe. What do? When the famine's severe, we look for food. It seems logical, but follow the path of the story. Abram has started way up in the north in Syria today, Aram back in that day, went south to Canaan. As he traveled south in Canaan, he left markers for the future. All is well. It's going great. God's going to make him into a great nation. He continues south into the Negev, the southern regions there. And then he just keeps going and leaves the land God just gave him. Right? Abram is not perfect. We read in Romans about the faith of Abram, and it starts in this passage, but we get the final product in Romans. We're going to look at 5 weeks' worth of his life here, more than 5 chapters. Abram's not perfect. In fact, he's probably where many of us are, knowing the goal, but trying to get there, right? Abram has faith. He leaves his family. He goes to the land, and then when the going gets tough, Abram leaves, right? Abram gets going. In fact, he doesn't just leave the land. Abram, again, starts well. Tells his wife, I know you're a beautiful woman. My wife loves it when I tell her she's beautiful, right? It sounds good, right? The Egyptians see you, they're going to threaten me. So don't miss this. Don't gloss it. They will kill me and let you live. Now, husbands, you should lay down your life for your wife, right? This should be the way it goes. Say you are my sister. Why? So that I will be treated well because of you. Hard to read this. Some commentators try to put a halo on Abram and say the faith of Abram. This is a real story of a real guy who does not always get it right. Dads, if you have those regrets, you're like Father Abram, right? We have those things in our past. Abram sacrifices his wife. He uses her as a shield, right? If you say you're my sister, they'll treat me well. I'm not sure if he expects that she'll be taken into Pharaoh's household, but he does expect that if he protects himself here, it'll go well for him, and it does. This is the flesh. This is the thing Paul's going to be talking about in Romans against, right? Flesh or spirit. This is protect me and sacrifice my wife. That's a problem. Don't put a halo on Abram yet. He did have faith. He did leave. That's good. He's got a good start. But not good as we keep reading. When he came to Egypt, exactly what he said happened, right? He treated Abram well for her sake. Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male, female donkeys, male, female servants, camels. He gets rich, right? So some of you are ahead of me. You're thinking, I hope he stops right here and says, okay, lie and cheat and you'll get rich, right? Amen, let's pray. No, that's not the moral of the story, but it's hard to read the story without the context and understand it. Why is he being blessed? This is a real question. You don't have to answer out loud, but think, why is Abram being blessed? He's doing it all wrong at this part of the story. Why is he being blessed? Because God said, I will bless you. And God's promises never fail, right? We fail. We make mistakes. We do our best. But our Father in heaven, notice the title of the message, Faith of Our Father. Abram, but our Father God in heaven is not failing Abram. And he doesn't fail us either. Right? No matter where we are and what messes we might have made and ways we may have sacrificed family for our own sake, God keeps working with Abram, keeps blessing him in spite of himself. And then, interestingly enough, Pharaoh is innocent. He's unwitting. He sees a beautiful woman. He asks the right questions. Is she married? No. Okay, then I can take her as my wife. Now, Pharaoh has a harem, so all kinds of things messed up there. But you know, he's trying not to violate Abram. He's trying to do the right thing. And he got duped in the process. And he gets serious diseases. Think about the irony. Abram's the one lying here. Abram's the one protecting himself, doing it wrong. Pharaoh's trying to do it right. And he gets serious diseases. He gets cursed, right? Did you start to put it together? I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. It's all about God and his faithfulness. It has nothing to do with what Abram did. Abram gets blessed. Pharaoh gets cursed because God has a plan here. Abram would be better to stay in the land and trust God. God brought him to this land. God can feed him. He doesn't, but God keeps working. God brings about his blessing for Abram. And God will continue to work in your life as well. In fact, Abram gets to leave with everything he acquired, even though it was through bad means. God just keeps blessing him and brings him back to the promised land so that he can continue his plan in Abram's life. So this morning, no matter where you are, no matter where your story is, whether you have messed up and have regrets, whether your father didn't put you on the right path in certain ways, didn't leave those marks, wherever we are, maybe you have that, like I have a wonderful background and did the best I could with my sons. We always have that in the back of our minds, dads and moms and young people as you're leading other young people. But God said he will bless you. He will make your name great. He will use you to bless others. So the final question today is, who is God using you to bless? Who is God blessing you so that you can set up a marker for others to follow? How can we follow our faithful Heavenly Father? Right? God doesn't have faith. He's faithful. We have faith in his faithfulness to us. so that we can continue that journey and dwell in the land of Canaan. Maybe your story is a good one. Maybe God's been blessing you, passing that along. Maybe your story is like Abram's and you've had the best of intentions but the worst of results, right? You haven't quite gotten there yet. The following chapters, Abram's going to do better. Don't think this is a depressing season. Abram's going to keep growing, but he's going to keep being real. He's going to keep making mistakes, but God's going to keep growing him, blessing him, using him. And ultimately, he's that example that we read about in Romans, that it's not by works, right? It wasn't by works. It was actually the opposite for Abram here, but God was faithful to him. Let's bow together in prayer. God, I thank you for each one who's here, faithfully here this weekend on Father's Day, celebrating you as our Father, first of all, and then the ways in which we get to be leaders. We get to be ones who are blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. Ultimately, we can win the world for you. Lord, I thank you for those volunteers who are going to be examples in working, set up, and ministering to kids a week from now in VBS. I pray that we might all in our lives be able to follow Abram's example, not because Abram was perfect, but because he followed you and went where you were and trusted in your faithfulness. I pray that we would learn, even as Abram learned along the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.